I want to start with scripture from Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And what had been happening is Jesus was a young boy of about 12, and he went with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the feast, and they all traveled together and they did the feast. And then on the way back, Jesus kind of stayed behind without his parents knowing. And then after a day or so on the road, they noticed he's not there. You know, they thought he was amongst the family, and then they went back to look for him. And when they found him 3 days later in the temple, this is what he said. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come this morning, Lord, and breathe upon your word and upon every word I speak, Lord, that it will not be only my words, Lord, but your words spoken into our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that your word is living and powerful, God. And this morning we come with the confidence that you do not change, Lord, and your word doesn't change, Lord, and your character doesn't change, God. And that we can come with you to you boldly, Father, knowing that you give good gifts to your children, God. And that we can come with an expectation not only to worship you, to give what's due, the glory that's due to your name, Lord, but to receive, Lord, as we come into your presence, to be transformed and to be made more to be like Jesus Christ, God. And this morning, that's our desire. And our Holy Spirit, we just commit this time to you. We welcome you, Lord, as our teacher, to come and teach us, God, and show us more about Jesus, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time, and we commit it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to recap a bit. About 2 weeks ago, I spoke about us relating to God as our Father. Okay, some of you were here. I just want to quickly run through that. Firstly, we looked at that. Yeah, we basically looked at we are all children of God through Christ, and how Jesus kind of introduced that the way of relating to God as a Father, where before in the Old Testament it wasn't primarily the way that the nation of Israel related to God. Now Jesus said, he taught them to pray, said, "Our Father," he related the whole time to "My Father, I must be about my Father's business." We just read, I only do what I see the Father doing. You know, this is, I know where I'm coming from, I know where I'm going. The whole time referring to God as Father and teaching his disciples to do the same, to relate to God as a Father. We saw that we are loved, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we have that through Christ, we have that entrance pass into God's presence. We have the kind of unconditional, continual access to the throne room of God and to his presence. We saw that we are beloved, we are approved of, that in Christ God has accepted us, he loves us, we are his favored sons and daughters, and we are welcomed in his presence, like I said, continually. There's nothing that can come between us. That relationship it's truly something we can cherish. It's something we can build our lives upon. That's the relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, and knowing and relating to him as a Father God. And that is kind of the cornerstone of our relationship with him, that in Christ we have this access, and in Christ we have this intimacy, and in Christ we have this unrestricted access to the King of Kings, to our Father God, our Daddy God as well. And this morning, we want to look at something a little bit different. And in our walk with God, we know the process of salvation. You know, the moment we are born again, the process of salvation starts. It's the process of becoming more like Christ, being it's a continuous redemptive work of grace in our lives. There's nothing that we can do to kind of earn it or something, but God is continually renewing us from the inside out. He's changing us. He's conforming us to the image of his Son. It's that process of sanctification that we go through, all right? It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun, but it's amazing to see the renewal that God does in our lives, how we change, how he changes the way we think, how he changes the way we feel about things. He renews, changes us more and more to be like him. And as we follow him and as we grow in relationship with him, we are transformed into his image. And I've got good news for you. This process will continue until the day that we meet him face to face. It says that in that moment, we'll become like him in an instant. And we also get glorified bodies, which is great. And so we know of this process of salvation. It starts being once born, being born again, and it continues. But then also we see Scripture speaking of a maturity of faith. So we see Scripture speaking of us growing in a maturity in our relationship with God, growing maturity in our faith. And in 1 John chapter 2, we see a bit of that, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And we see a very interesting thing here. We see him addressing like different groups of people. And he's not only speaking about physical children and young men, he's also speaking about in a spiritual sense. And if you saw that, we've got the next Bible school weekend coming up, and we're going to look at the model of discipleship, and I want to really encourage you to get around to that, because we're going to look at this specifically as part of one of the modules there in terms of where we're at in the discipleship process, where we're at in our growth, you know, where we're at in being discipled and discipling others. So I want to really encourage you to invite people and to get around to that. It's a great investment, and I'm sure you won't regret it. But he mentions here little children, he mentions young men, he mentions fathers, and we see a maturity that he speaks of, a growth and a maturity in faith in our relationship with him. And then very interestingly, also in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, Peter writes, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 2, Paul writes, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. And now we see this interesting picture. He speaks about how in different places in our growth, in our maturity in Christ, we need to eat different things spiritually, okay? Same with little Zara at the back. She didn't start off on day one with a T-bone steak. I hope not. You know, she might have gummed it a bit, but so like it's spiritually the same way. As we grow spiritually, as we are and just before that, Peter mentions, he says newborn babes. So now he's talking about new Christians, newborn believers that need to have the pure milk of the word, that need to have a diet of the milk of the word, of being nourished and fed with milk. And Paul says the same. He says, fed you with milk and not solid food. But he implies that later on solid food will come. So we see this progression happening, which is quite interesting. And what I want to get to is that this growth, this coming from our relationship with the Father as our dad, as our Father God, it's often when we are when we are firmly established in that relationship, when you know that he is your dad, when you know that he is your father, when you're established in that relationship, it's often then that we discover that there's a whole new dimension that God wants to take us into in relationship with him, a whole different kind of relationship, a different part of relationship with him that we haven't necessarily known before that point. And what we discover here is more of a purposeful working relationship. And if we want to look at, we come to a place where he wants to introduce us to the Father's business, if you want to say it like that, as the first scripture. I read. When we come and we are introduced to what the Father's business is all about. And if you think about, growing up in a family, I mean, remember, when I was a little boy, when I was a certain age, I was given some responsibilities, okay? But before that age, and I'll refer to Zara again, Zara doesn't necessarily have a lot of responsibilities around the house yet, okay? She's turned one in February, and she's not expected to make her bed or to wash the dishes yet, okay? And she, when mom and dad prepare food for her, they don't ask her, listen, Zara, what have you contributed this week that you can have this food, okay? Luckily, it doesn't work like that, okay? But what you'll find is when we grow older, and I wasn't home like that, we stayed on a small, my parents still live on a small holding, about 5 hectares, I don't know if it means anything to you, but it's a small bit of farm, a little bit small farm, and we didn't do much in terms of animals and things. We did try a few things here and there, chickens at one stage, sheep at another stage, and all kinds of interesting things, rabbits and guinea pigs and things. But for the most part, my dad loves gardening and fiddling around the garden, the home. So we had a big lawn. I'm not joking. All together, all the parts around the house must have been probably the size of a football pitch. Okay, and being the son of the house, that was my responsibility to mow the lawn. Okay, now can you imagine mowing a lawn like that? In any case, it was like it took me a week, and then once I finished, I had to start over again because then it started growing again on the other side. In any case, now you see stuff like that. We're like. You get some responsibilities. But again, the key here is that you start growing and you start getting responsibilities around the house. But still, I didn't have to earn my food. You understand? It's not like I had to earn my keep in the home. It's not like my dad said, listen, if you're not finished with the lawn, you're not getting food tonight. You understand? There's certain things that are established and they are without question. Not, without condition. So what I'm talking here this morning is not us earning something in relationship with God. It's not us earning His acceptance or earning His love. It's something beyond that. It's with that established, with that is firmly established, our relationship with the Father, our relationship with the Daddy God, with that established, we move into something different, okay? So we must see that distinction there. Now, let's read 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now we see something very interesting here. We see there Paul mentioning when he writes to Timothy, that Timothy is to present himself as a worker to God, approved as a worker to God. He does not need to be ashamed. So now we see a whole new different thing. But now you can say, okay, but now we said now nothing has to do with works. We can't earn anything by our works. And now I'm saying now you have to be a worker. Okay, so don't get that made me wrong. But the thing is, the relational bit is established. But now we enter into something where God wants to introduce us to what's on His heart and what's His purpose about, and what His kingdom is all about. And now, sometimes in marriage you see this, you see a husband and wife, maybe they got to know each other in a workplace, and the wife has got a superior position to the husband, they get to know each other, get married, and now there's a problem, because now at the home the husband is the head of the house, but now at work the wife is in charge, okay? So now what has to happen is they have to have different hats. So when you're at work, the wife has got the manager hat on, okay, and she leaves her wife hat at home. And when they're at home, then she has to take off the manager hat, and then she has to put on the wife hat, and the you see what I'm getting at. So they have a working relationship, which is very different to their relationship at home. The person, the people do not change, but the hats that they wear and the roles they play, they do change. The same as I mentioned last time, if you have a royal family and your dad is the king, it must be strange, because now, in a certain context, you run onto his lap, and you, when you're scared, you kind of want to, you know, that's where you run with as a little boy or a little child. But in a different context, in those years, you know, people, you had to bow with the rest of the nation before your dad, and you had to treat him with reverence and with that respect. So we see this interesting different hats we have to use. In the same, when I was in the Defense Force, one could have a relationship with a superior officer. Say I knew some of the officers from before I joined the force. We were friends, but once we were at work, and once we were in that, you know, official environment, they would be that. Then there was a different relationship, because now I was a subordinate, and they were the officers, and I had to relate in a different way. So it's an interesting thing, but this is the type of working relationship that God wants to introduce us to, and we see this in Jewish culture, that once a boy comes to the age of 13, it's a very exciting time of his life. He's basically he's gone through a whole process of instruction in the Word and in the Scripture and the Torah and the first five books of the Bible, and he's basically memorized all of them. Can you imagine that? That's good stuff. You should try it. I think I'm going to get my children to do that. But then, yes, he's gone through this whole process, and now he's come to a place where he is becoming a man. At the age of 13, they have a big ceremony. It's called the Bar Mitzvah. There's a big celebration, and the child, the boy, becomes a man, changes, his role changes in the house. He's the way people look at him in the community changes. The way he dresses changes. He dresses very much like the father. He's actually, from that point on, he's being trained in business by his dad. And he accompanies his dad in business transactions and business trips. His dad kind of is then basically raising him up to not only be his partner, but then later to take over the family business. Okay. And there's such a powerful picture of how God wants to bring us also into the family business, into what's on his heart and what is the legacy that he wants us to leave. So we see a few key words in the scripture here. We see the word diligent. So there's an aspect of diligence that God wants us to come into. You see the word the worker that I mentioned, approved, and dividing, discerning discerning the word. So there's a diligence that comes with this new kind of aspect of a relationship with God. Again, this diligence is not I must impress God or I must prove myself to him. No, that's already been established. I know that he loves me. I know nothing can separate me from his love. But now God invites us to a partnership with him. Now God invites us to be a part of the Father's business, to be at the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom that he is establishing. And he says there, be diligent to present yourself approved in this specific way. Not as a son in the house, not as a daughter, but as a diligent in seeking his kingdom and seeking his purpose. And approved. And very specifically, he mentions the word of truth. So the word of God plays a very specific role in this dimension, in terms of us digging into the word, filling ourselves with the word, equipping ourselves with the word, so that we can be found approved and diligent, like he says, you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you with me this morning? Almost. Okay. Don't worry, we'll get there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Now, this is interesting. Paul writes to Timothy. Now, Timothy was basically Paul's son in the faith. So Timothy got born again under the ministry of Paul, and Paul walked the road with him and discipled him, basically also mentored him. And then he left Timothy. Well, he basically, Timothy then got placed in charge of his own huge congregation. And now Paul is writing to him and encouraging him and advising him, and he's basically like his son. And in a very powerful picture also, like Father God wanting to show us and direct us and encourage us, Paul is doing the similar thing. And he says, my son Timothy, listen, do this, do that. This is important. Keep your eye on this. And this is, I just took a little bit out there, which is so precious. And he says here, firstly starts, verse 12, let no one despise your youth. Timothy was quite young. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Very powerful encouragement. You know, it's such a lot to say just out of these few verses. He speaks about not being despised for your youth, you know. And that's the thing which many of us encounter, because the thing is, this growth in Christ, this maturity in Christ, is not dependent on physical age. So you can be young physically, but you can also already be a father spiritually. Because being a father spiritually has to do with discipling and walking a road with some, being a spiritual parent to somebody else. Okay, so he says, don't let anyone despise your youth. And we've got a lot of young people here. Okay, don't let anyone despise your youth. If you're walking a road with God and He's, you know, stay in step with what the Spirit is doing. Don't just let anyone. Don't tell yourself, now I have to first finish this degree or become gray or have five children before I can have authority in the word. And it's nothing like that. You know, often God, wants to stretch us beyond what we feel we are capable of. So even where you're at, you're able to be a father in the faith. This being a spiritual parent to somebody, discipling, walking a road with them, establishing them in the faith. And he says, yeah, be an example, okay? Even though you're young, be an example in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And it says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, the word of God right there. Give attention to it. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. And that's another powerful encouragement. He says, each of us, he says, you have received the gift from God. Don't neglect that gift. Stir up, another place he says, stir up that gift that is in you by laying out of hands. Stir it up and, you know, practice it. Don't neglect it. And then he says, meditate on these things and give yourselves entirely to them. Again, we see that diligence, that commitment, pouring yourselves into this kingdom business of God, that God has for us. And then he says, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And again, a thing of, you know, the amazing privilege it is to be an ambassador for Christ, that everything we do has an effect of those around us, our message, our life, our word, you know, our words, our conduct is saying something. Okay, so he's encouraging Paul is encouraging Timothy in these things, and I believe in a very much the same way we relate to God the Father as in that working relationship as well. John 15 verse 5, 8, and 16. Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now we see a whole lot of things in the scripture as well. But very importantly, he says, I am the vine. And he says, when we abide in him, we bear fruit. And without him, we can do nothing. So this whole working relationship is an overflow out of that father-son, father-child relationship that we have with him. When we abide in the vine, that is when we bear fruit. And that is when Jesus and God is glorified, in the fruit that we bear. In that relationship, in where we start kind of pursuing the kingdom, when we start to be really partners with him in the kingdom. And then, this is an interesting thing, you know, where I remember I told you last time a little bit about my relationship with my father. And I remember some of the best times that I've experienced, the best just great times with my dad was when we did stuff together. Okay, sometimes it was just like random things. But my dad was being very much kind of always busy in the garden or building something or, you know, building very practical, very weird with his hands, building, you know, something out of wood or doing plumbing or never, or electrician or whatever, you know, he always had to, you know, figure it out and made it happen. And I remember us, you know, even when I was a small boy, building shells for my mom for a pottery or fixing the plumbing, you know, or doing something in the garden. And it's such a powerful picture where we are pursuing something together and we are establishing something together. And at the end of the day, my dad and I can say, look, this product that has come from this. And the whole process was not only great fellowship, but also, you know, because at the end of the day, especially when I was little, I couldn't really contribute a lot. But I could hand him the tools and I could, you know, hold this thing and kind of not really contributing much. But I was just as proud of the product at the end and, you know, when my mom could be happy with this shelf or whatever. And the picture there is of God inviting us to partner with him and us doing a little bit here and helping a bit there, kind of, but actually not contributing that much in the bigger scheme of things, but the fellowship and that intimacy of relationship is some of the best times I can remember with my dad. And the relationship with our Father God is exactly the same. That place where God invites us to that partnership, it opens up a whole new dimension of intimacy with the Father. When we get to know what's on his heart, we get to know what's his passion, what's his desire, what's he excited about? What's his purpose? And I'll tell you, I've not experienced any greater fulfillment. I've not experienced any greater fulfillment than experiencing God working through me and through others around me to change somebody's life and to save someone's life and to radically impact someone's life. To experience that, you know, partnership with God where somehow through no doing of your own, God has used you to change somebody's life and to impact someone's life and to bless someone. And where you can see them experiencing the love of God, where you can see them meeting God for the first time maybe, or experiencing his healing or experiencing his love. And somewhere you've had a little part to play in that. There's nothing greater to see when you see that impact that the love of God has in that person's life. There's no greater fulfillment. It's like when Jesus was sitting at the well, ministering to the Samaritan woman, when they were passing through there, Samaria. And remember, he sent the disciples away to go and buy food because they were hungry. But basically, he just kind of got them out of the way so that he could minister to this woman. And he ministers to her, and basically through her salvation, the whole city is impacted. And when the disciples return with the food, he says, "Now, I'm not hungry anymore." And he says to them, "My food is to do the will of my Father." And he speaks of that incredible satisfaction, that incredible fulfillment that he derives from being in partnership with the Father and doing the will of the Father. And and being one with the Father and doing His will and His purpose and seeing Him glorified. That incredible, like I said, fulfillment and in that case, physically even nourishing and physically even fulfilling Him to a way that He could say, "Now I'm no longer hungry. My food is to do the will of my Father." And this is this incredible partnership that God invites us to. He says, "My son, my daughter, I love you, and I, you know, that part is established. You know, this must be clear this morning that this is what I'm talking about. This kind of being diligent and seeking and pushing is not to attain salvation. Okay, I'm talking about yes, we do maintain our relationship with God, and we grow in it, and we pursue Him, and we press into His presence and to become more like Him and to know Him. But then there's a different dimension of partnering with Him in His desire and His passion and His kingdom. And as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business." And we have this incredible invitation. And if you look around you at believers, the sad thing is often we see believers that are, and we see it in our own lives, you know. Sometimes we're like on a cloud nine somewhere in our relationship with God, and it's amazing. Jesus is my friend, and He's my buddy, and I'm just kind of up in the sky, and it's just amazing. And, you know, that's a great season. But often many people don't grow from there. Many believers stay in that Jesus is my friend, my bud relationship, and they never progress to I'm partnering with God for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of His kingdom. I'm partnering with Him because I love Him and because I want to see Him glorified in my life, because I want to bear fruit that brings glory to His name. The amazing thing is that doesn't change anything about their salvation. Those believers are just as saved as you and I. And there's nothing, like I said, there's no you must earn this or you must attain this, but there's an invitation to be a part of something greater. There's an invitation to be a part of the Father's business. There's an invitation to partner with Him. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon me. You know, take my burden and yoke with me," He says, "and learn from me." And again, that powerful picture, I was preaching it earlier this year, of us yoking with Jesus. In other words, what is on His shoulders is on our shoulders. And if that oxen that is yoked, if you yoke together, you turn together, you know. If Jesus looks one way, we're looking the same way. If He turns that way, we're also turning that way, because that's what it means to be yoked together. We see the same things. We pursue the same thing. We pull the same burden. We're going in the same direction. We are in step with the Spirit and with Him. We yoke together with Him. And that's that invitation. Yoke with me. And to be co-laborers with Christ, to be co-laborers in the harvest field. And that's just, and often when we hear these words, we get uncomfortable. You know, now I have to do stuff, and you know, I'm probably going to be ridiculed, or it's not going to be comfortable. But I tell you, the reward. Because often the things that I did with my dad weren't things that I liked myself necessarily. I'm not much of a gardening person. Well, I was fortunate up to now in our married life, we never had a garden. So I was kind of, didn't have any lawns to mow recently. Maybe it's because I kind of, my lawn mowing bank account is still, still got some credit there. In any case, so there's not necessarily always something I was excited about out of my own. But once I pitched in there, I enjoyed it. And I got to love it. And I got to see my dad's heart. I could see what he's excited about. I could partner with him. I could share with it. And I could experience that intimacy that I didn't know before. That I didn't know in a different context. So that is that invitation. That is that intimacy that he invites us to. Not only knowing him as a dad. Not only knowing him as a friend, as a father, as our savior. But knowing him as the King of Kings. Knowing him as the Savior of the universe, knowing Him as the one who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, knowing Him as the commander of the hosts of the armies of heaven. How scary is that? You know? The one who sits, you know, when we read those scriptures of Jesus on the white horse coming to judge the nations, it's a whole different Jesus. It's not Jesus in the manger anymore. It's not Jesus, my buddy. It's the King of Kings. It's the one before every knee, you know, before him every knee will bow, above the earth, in the earth, under the earth, every knee. No, every person's none excluded. It's a scary picture, but that is the Jesus that invites us to be partner with him. So I've got a place for you here. You fit into this picture. You fit into this great adventure. And all you need to do is say is, yes, I want to be part of it. Yes, I want to step into that thing. Great invitation. And this is where the Father is glorified. Is when we step into that place. Is when we start bearing the fruit that glorifies him and that lifts up his name. And that shows to all the world that we belong to him, that we are his and that we are part of his story. That we are not longer part of our own little thing, but that's something much greater to our lives than just our own existence. And that's when he is glorified. And that's when the glory of God covers our lives. When we lay down our little ambition and our plan and we say, Lord, just put me where you need me. Just put me in that plan of yours. I want to be a part of that. And when we reflect his glory and when we decrease in Christ and Christ increases in us. Psalm 115 verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Not unto us. This is not about us, okay? This is always a kind of a sobering thought. The universe does not turn around you. You know, have you seen a friend of mine, his little daughter used to believe that when she wakes up, the day begins. So when she wakes up, that's when things start. So if anybody else is still sleeping when she wakes them up because she runs to the window, opens the window, it's a brand new day, and then she wakes everybody up in the house because now the day has started because she's awake, okay? But the amazing thing is it's not about us. It's not about our life. It's not about our little existence. It's about the glory of the King, and that is why we exist. That is why we live and breathe. That is why we know him, is so that we can glorify him. That's why I've been created, is to bring glory to his name, is to proclaim his name and his fame across the earth and across every part of our life. In Isaiah 26 verse 8 in the NIV, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws or in your truth, another translation says, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. That's why it's our desire, your name to be lifted up, your renown, your fame across the earth. That is the desire of our hearts. That is the thing that burns in us, to see his fame cover the earth, to see the glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That is why we live and breathe. That is why we move. That's what gets us up in the morning. Paul writes, he says, the love of Christ compels me, compels us. It's like this love of God that is in me. And I cannot but do what I'm doing because of this love in me, because of the love that I've received from the Father. And that overflows into the love that I have for my brothers and my sisters and the world out there, the lost world. And then we have this invitation where the Father says, I want you to be part of the family business. I want you to yoke with me. I want you to come alongside me. I want you to partner with me. I've got a place for you. And the amazing thing is, you won't force it upon us. And again, you'll meet believers who don't have a clue. But they're just as saved. God loves them just as much. There's no second-rate son or daughter in the house of God. But there's an invitation. The invitation to come. To come to be a part of the business. And listen, business can be misunderstood. Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, to be a part of, like Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. And when you fall and you bump your head, the Father will be there to pick you up. So, if you can stand with me this morning, we're going to just pray together. just pray. Father, we humble ourselves this morning before you, God, as our King, as our Savior, Lord, as our Father and our Daddy, God, Lord. And Lord, at the same time, we stand in awe of you, God, as the King of the universe, as the King of kings, as the Creator of everything, as the one who has established the heavens and the earth, as the one who spoke it into being, as the one who is the commander of the heavenly hosts, and as the one that invites us to partner, invites us to be about our Father's business, to be about what's on your heart, to be a part of your great, great purpose, Lord, your kingdom being established in this nation, in and through our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our workplace. God, and this morning I pray in the name of Jesus that you would light again in us that desire and that burning passion, Lord, to know that place in your perfect will, to know that place of partnership, Lord, to know that place of intimacy. We are not only making it day by day, we are not only surviving as Christians, Lord, but we are partnering with you, and we are truly yoking with you for the sake of the gospel. God, and I pray for every person in this place, God, and I thank you, Lord, for a desire that you put in us, Lord, like Paul writes, that love that you've poured out into our hearts, that your love compels us to press into you, into your presence, to seek your face, God, to seek beyond what we know and to have an insatiable and unquenchable thirst, Father, for who you are and for more of you, God. And this morning I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that as we find ourselves established, Lord, in our relationship with you as our dad, Lord, that we would accept the invitation to come into partnership, Lord, invitation to yoke with Christ, invitation to be co-laborers with Christ and co-workers with Christ. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that we would taste and see, Lord, your goodness, and we would taste and see what it means to truly partner with you, to share in your kingdom, and not only in the good, Lord, but as your word says, to share also in the fellowship of your sufferings, Lord. In both the victory of the cross, but also in the suffering, Lord. We sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes we will count the cost, and we will have to, and we will know difficult times, God. But I thank you, Lord, that intimacy, that knowing you, that place of partnership, that place of intimacy with you, our Father and our King, surpasses every bit of that, Lord. Lord, now every eye is closed, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every person in this place. Just as you keep your eyes closed. If you have this morning have a desire to answer to that call, to say, yes, Lord, I want to know that partnership, Lord. I want to go beyond friendship and beyond what I've known before. I have a desire to know your passion. I have a desire to know your heart. I have a desire to partner with you, Lord. Then I don't want you to, I don't have to come forward. I just want you to stand just where you're at. And I just want you to speak with God right now. Don't worry about the person next to you. I just wanted you to bring your heart before him. Just lay your heart before him. If you need to repent of being self-focused, or just say, just lay it before him. Lay it at the foot of the cross. And if you know today is the day you need to answer to the call, that invitation, then I want you to do that just in your own words. Just to respond to him. Yes, thank you, Father. And I'll leave our eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you've not taken the first step, you've not established that daddy-daughter, daddy-son relationship with Father, and you know where you're standing now, you're not born again, and you don't have a relationship with Father, then this morning I've got great news. That Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you and I can have a relationship with the Father, so that we can know Him as our dad, so that we can get all the stuff that separates us from Him out of the way by the blood of Christ, and we can come to Him boldly, that we can know Him as our dad and as our Savior and as our King and as our Father. And if that's you this morning, there's the invitation first to come to Him and to receive Him as your Savior and as your dad. If you want to do that this morning, everybody's eyes are closed, if you could just raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody like that? Okay, thank you. Okay. Yes, Father, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you accept us, Lord, just as we are. And what we're going to do now, we're just going to all pray together. I want us just to bring our hearts before Him again and to take that step to receive the invitation that is given to us. So I'm going to pray, and I would like you just to pray after me, and we're going to just receive that invitation that He has for us, okay? Let's pray together. Father God, okay, you need to pray with me loudly, okay? Father God, thank you for your love for me. This morning, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself, Lord. And I need a Savior. And Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son. That you love me so much that you gave your Son to die in my place. This morning I believe, Lord, that Jesus rose from the dead. That He is my Lord and my Savior. And I confess it with my mouth. And I thank you, Lord, that from this day, I can know you as my Father and Jesus as my Savior. And that I know you never leave me nor forsake me. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate me from your love for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, that I can hear your voice, that I can speak with you, and that you speak with me, Lord. I pray that you fill me with your Spirit, God. I give every part of my life into your hands. Every part of my life I submit to your Lordship. Be the King of Kings, Lord. Be the Lord of all. In my life, to your glory, God, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I'm just going to close the service here. If you have any prayer need, if you would like just to respond to the word, or if you have any other prayer need at all, please, I would like you to come forward and join with me. And I would, especially those that have raised your hands, if you have the boldness, I would love to pray with you. So if you would come forward, I'd love to pray with you just for a moment. But if you have any other prayer needs, whatever it may be, the studies or the finances or whatever need you may have, or if you just want to respond to the word, please come to the front and I'd love to pray with you. Okay, God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. Enjoy the rest of the bank holiday weekend. Enjoy the refreshments with us. And have a great day. God bless. Thanks.